C1AP. Number 19B.
So it says, and a mighty angel took up a stone, a great millstone. You know, it's, as we know, a stone was always a symbol for calculation. In earlier times, they would calculate with little stones. And therefore, they symbolized the calculus. Actually, a great stone, a mighty stone, was that great calculus of the Christ that calculates divinely. And so a mighty angel took a stone, a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, into nothingness. Thus, with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And that finishes off all the evil that has been shown in Revelation. From this point on, where Babylon is fallen and found no more, no mention of evil enters anymore into Revelation. Now the final point is reached where we can see that first of all it had to be shown that Babylon is a false sense of the city. That's the sign, that's the word, that it is a false concept of the holy city, and that therefore it only imitates the seven and the four, and therefore that it must be seen as the counterfeit of the great city. But that is actually not enough to know that Babylon is a counterfeit of science. We must also see that that counterfeit of science has no power, that it cannot achieve anything, that it has not the Christ, that it cannot save the world. And so in the chapter 18 we have science as the Christ, showing that the true science has a Christ, and that that Christ, like that angel with a millstone, will bring to naught the false concept of Babylon, of the city. It's like in Daniel, there too, Daniel has said that it is like a stone cut out without hands that was destroying that figure with clay feet. You say with clay feet or feet of clay. And just brought it to naught. It is a stone, you see, a stone, how was it, cut out without hands. It's not something that we do, that we apply. It applies itself. It's the Christ idea that is working. We cannot make the Christ idea work. The Christ idea works by itself, operates by itself. The Christ idea says, I have an idea and I'm going to work out that idea. And I do it all by myself because I'm the Savior. No other one is a Savior. Babylon is not the Savior. I'm the Savior. And so it was cast into the sea, and with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. It would show us at this point that if we really follow Revelation in the categories that the Revelator shows, that would bring us to the point of science, of the city foursquare. How does he bring it there? And we have seen that in the great picture, we have seen that first he presents the category of the Word in the chapter 1. The days of creation, the numerals of infinity, the seventh synonymous term. This is the Word. Then he shows that this Word has a Christ, the seven messages to the churches in the Christ order. And then already he begins to see, now must come something else. Now the third side of the city must come into focus. And he devotes, so to say, all those chapters from chapter 4, that's where the first vision begins, from chapter 4 here until chapter 18, he devotes that big section out of Revelation to the Christianity sense. First, by showing in the vision of principle what constitutes scientific Christianity. And then elaborates on that, brings in afterwards the vision of love with the woman in the Christianity sense, bringing forth the idea, afterwards showing through the Christianity sense how to handle with that Christianity sense the belief of evil, and finally show that it is a nothingness and can be proved as a nothingness. And at that point, with those two great facets of scientific obstetrics and handling evil, he begins to see the nothingness of the fourth side of the Holy City. And he touches now the fourth side of the Holy City and prophesies of that fourth side of the Holy City. First, by showing that Babylon is fallen, that it is nothing. And now the consciousness is free to establish the true city, and that he shows in the vision of spirit. So we come to the vision of spirit, which is the next great vision. And we will take today quickly the introduction to that vision, and then tomorrow we can go further to absolute Christian science. This sixth vision, which we call the vision of spirit, is the vision that contains the city of spirit, and no more Babylon, the city of mortal mind. And it is nice to see that right from the start we have only the spiritual sense of things, and error does no more enter. The Revelator shows now science as from the point of view of Christianity, after he has shown science as the Word, the false sense of the city, then signs as the Christ coming down as the true city that destroys the Babylonian city. Now, science as Christianity brings in really that great jubilee of praise. It is here, chapter 19, that he says, a great voice of much people in heaven were saying, can you see the tone of Christianity? The moment we have Christianity, it's the point of view of man, of people, a great voice of many people in heaven now, because evil has disappeared, the Babylonian city has disappeared, and saying now, Alleluia. And we get all those Alleluia here, which was the foundation for Handel's Messiah. And it's again interesting to see that it is not just the rambling of Alleluias and Alleluias and again Alleluias and again Alleluias, but there is a certain line in it that flows through it. First, it is an Alleluia, namely, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So it is praising the Word of God in its honor, in its power, and it's praising our Lord. He has judged the great whore. He has avenged the blood of his servants. And again they said, Alleluia. So it's again an Alleluia for the Christ aspect of that Lord, because he has judged the great whore. as we have seen before. So they praise the Christ aspect of science. Then the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God, saying, Alleluia. And you see now, it's no more the multitude. Now it's just the 24 elders and the four beasts. See, he always comes back to his scientific metaphysics. He always comes back to that first vision of principle. Can you remember that? Where he started out and I saw one sitting on the throne and seven spirits and the four beasts and the 24 elders. So always he comes back to that scientific metaphysics. And now he can see that scientific metaphysics glorifies really the fact of God. They are now the 24 elders. They glorify God. The chapter on recapitulation, 24 elders, they glorify God. The four beasts, they glorify God. There's nothing bigger to glorify than to see the whole textbook as a 4x4. These glorify God. And we can see it's now science or scientific metaphysics that glorifies God. And a voice out of the throne said, praise our God. So now comes the praise out of the throne of God. And the voice of a great multitude said, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It gives a sense of science, that science reigns. So you have these Alleluias coming in, just as if he would say, the Word of God praises God, the Christ praises God, Christianity praises God, and science praises God. But in its science, I don't know if that makes any impact on you or if it doesn't mean anything to you, but I think when one sees that being is a calculus of ideas, one is enormously impressed by that vision. That now, that we not praise God for their blessings, but that He is blessed for its inner nature of being the Word and the Christ and Christianity and science. That we are grateful for God to be Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And as they were praising God with that Alleluia, they said, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Now they announce now that this praising of God, this praising of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science will lead us to the unity with God, will lead us to the unity with the city, because the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready in fine linen, clean and white. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's a preparation for that marriage supper. It isn't yet depicting the marriage supper itself. The time is come. The marriage of the Lamb is come. And the wife has made herself ready. It is that pre-state where we become ready to accept really the holy city. And that is only possible first through that Alleluia, first through that accepting that the only thing that reigns is the Word and the Christ and Christianity, scientific Christianity. That alone reigns. Only if within us that sense is established and nurtured, only then are we called to the marriage feast. If we don't have that preparation within ourselves, we'll never be called to the marriage feast, because we don't have put on our wedding garments. You know, as one of the parables says, that if we are not putting on our wedding garments, we are not accepted to the marriage feast. We cannot come to the marriage feast in science if we bring all our dirty clothes with us, our dirty thoughts, our immature thoughts, the diluted thoughts, the dualistic thoughts. There must be something within us that is ready to put on only the best of metaphysics. And only then are we putting on fine linen, clean and white. Else we are never called to the marriage feast. And you know how in those parables, which naturally John the Revelator knew very well, those parables of Jesus, that everyone had an excuse and couldn't come to the marriage feast. Everyone had another excuse. Do we have excuses? To say, well, whatever is asked of us, I bring the best, and only the best. I put first things first, and not first things second. That I can't do. Then I'm not ready for the marriage feast. And then comes in another touch. This was science as Christianity. Can you see it was Christianity? It was what kind of attitude do we have within ourselves? Can we say alleluia to God, to the Word, and to the Christ, and to Christianity, and to science? If so, we can be prepared for the marriage feast. And then comes another touch, science as science. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Him means Jesus. I fell at Jesus' feet to worship him. When Jesus was talking to John and showed him all these things. And so when John the Revelator saw what Jesus showed him here as the Alleluia on the marriage feast that is to come, he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, see, thou do it not, don't do that. I am thy fellow servant. Jesus said, I am your fellow servant, I am not your master. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, what thou shalt do is worship God, not Jesus. Fall down before God, and not before Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He only prophesies what will come, but the source of his prophecy is God. So worship God, don't worship Jesus. Now this is a big thing to say to the Christians, not to fall down before Jesus, not to worship Jesus, but to worship the source of Jesus, the principle of being. And again you can see how at that point Jesus constantly wants to show the Revelator, go further. Don't stall with the 5,000 year period. Don't worship the 5,000 year period. Go on. Only that will lead you to the 6,000 year period where the science textbook began to interpret the city of our God as a calculus of 4x4. So that you couldn't have if you couldn't see really that Jesus was only your fellow servant, but not your master. What callest thou me good? There is but one that is good, namely the Father, God. And with this, we come to the end of the approach to the Holy City, and at this point then, really, we come out of the level of Christian science, and we'll touch tomorrow with the following description the level of absolute Christian science, where the absolute nature of that holy city is presented. So we can say it has taken really the Revelator nearly 19 out of 22 chapters to bring the seeker to the point where he's ready to perceive really the new Jerusalem, the holy city, that which is central to the Bible and is also central to the Christian Science textbook. But that is a great story, and we'll do that tomorrow. I think it would be a pity if I just would try to fill out another 5 minutes just because I have to fill it out and force something. We'll leave it at this point, and tomorrow we start with that sense of absolute Christian science.